Welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast.
Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. That's not how we do things around here.
How did you get out your cage?
I'm sorry. I may not, although last week's show did have me on it, that was actually from November.
That was from Beyond the Grave.
It was from Beyond the Grave. I have about 2 months worth of welcomes left. So listen, this is how we do this show.
See the tens of thousands of Scotch watches where it says welcome on it. That is more than enough for the population of the world.
Oh, Happy New Year, by the way.
Merry Christmas, Rick. How are you?
I'm very well. But welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. Now you can do all the music-y stuff and that editing things you like doing so much.
Did you notice I changed the intro music?
Oh, no. You know what? Is it okay to confess that as well as quite literally not knowing anything about what's happened in the watch industry for the last 2 months, I've also maybe listened to about half an hour's worth of our own show. So no, I did not realise you changed the intro music, but I do seem to recall you indicating that you might. I assume you changed it in the way that you said you were going to.
Yeah, I had a bit of a Rain Man moment where I got really into the weeds with something and I recorded our Swatch Watch ticking because you can hear it three rooms away. And then I superimposed the ticking of that over the theme music to replace the generic ticking sound effect we've used for 2 years. So there you go. That's a genuine Scottish Watches Swatch ticking sound that you heard at the start of this and from our 2 year forward.
And you're sure we don't need to, like, it's not one of these protected sounds. We don't need to like wait 70 years before we can use it.
No, because Disney will just keep changing the rules to suit themselves.
It's all their fault, is it?
It totally is. So where have you been? Have you been busy?
I have been busy. Well, it's strange how the things you learn in the watch industry end up being useful in your personal life. So obviously logistics and the whole Brexit thing has been dominating. And one of the things in that is to do with point of origin. It's to do with where things are made and what percentage of them are made somewhere. So we've taken a bit of a leaf out of the Swiss watch industry.
I was about to say, is this a Swiss-made story?
This is a Swiss-made story. So it turns out that so long as 60% of what we do with the orange that has never been grown in the UK has something to do with the UK, we can call it made in the UK. Just like we don't have to say that it was made in China, like the Swiss watch industry. So it turns out some of those things are useful. But we should probably confess that really my disappearance was to do with us falling out. It was one of those sad times. We had a big row, finally, about Star Wars versus Star Trek.
I wanted to be a big spoon for a change.
I threw the dummy out the pram because Star Wars is clearly the superior.
Only the Mandalorian.
Only the Mandalorian. That's all that matters. They're not even making Star Trek anymore. It's the guy from Quantum Leap. I mean, that's not... He can't be a captain. Has he still got... They're not cancelled that yet. So we fell out
about
that.
What are you talking about?
And I say, I don't know. I know the Quantum Leap guy appeared in Star Trek sometime. Did he not?
Round about...
I've got 2.5 months of Scottish Watches to deal with as well here. Oh, I should tell you my latest obsession. The only thing that's kept me vaguely sane has been getting into, thanks to my lovely family, getting into Parks and Recreation. So there'll be lots of Chris Traeger jokes from here on. Literally, this will be the best podcast ever.
I'll be telling you what I've been watching for a change, right? Because you've jumped in with some stories there. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of trips down memory lane at the weekend, and I stumbled across two movies that I watched back to back. And the first one was Die Hard 3, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
All right, okay.
And also Enemy of the State. And I never realised how much
Enemy of the State.
Casual racism that is just getting thrown around silly in movies in the late 90s, early 2000s. It is shocking, some of the stuff that gets said about Will Smith when he's coming out of the restaurant. Uh-huh. And we're going to repeat the words made by alleged FBI officers in the film and whatnot. It was just oofed. But I did do some watch spotting, and Enemy of the State's a brilliant film.
Great film.
Really like it. And loads of things that were in that came true, or were already true at the time. And then obviously Edward Snowden went, this is all real, it's been going on for ages. But the bit where they're changing out his pen, and his suit, and his shoes, and his watch, and they're like, it's an Omega. I thought, that's pretty cool. And then I watched the Sean Connery movie, Entrapment, because it was sitting free on Prime.
Definitely
and when
a poor
synchronizing
man's version of that.
What is?
Entrapment's a poor man's version of Enemy of the State.
Nothing like each other. Well, it's a heist movie about stealing paintings and masks.
It's a kind of...
There's criminals in it. And it's a movie.
It's on celluloid or VHS or 4G.
It's got Catherine Zeta-Jones bum. in yoga pants in it. That's all I needed to know. So I was reliving my youth, and they were synchronizing G-Shock watches. And I thought, I love a bit of watch spotting. Anyway, you were telling me about some crap you were
watching. Well, actually, the most famous thing, I don't know if I've told this story before, but in the original Die Hard, there is a scene that is removed, which is all to do with watches. So I'm just trying to remember, there's a scene in the film where Bruce Willis identifies the bad guy, okay, when he's pretending to be a good guy.
I know the scene.
And in that scene, what he does is he looks at his watch, okay, and it just passes by, and you assume he figures it out for some other reason. The scene they remove from that movie is at the very beginning of the film, of the heist. All of the baddies synchronize their watches, and they're all wearing the same watch. And Bruce Willis puts it together that he's actually a bad guy because one of the other guys he killed was wearing the same watch. And that's how he puts it together that... who's the actor that played Hans?
Alan Rickman.
Yeah,
Hans Gruber.
That's how he puts it together that Hans Gruber's a bad guy. But they actually cut the scene out that allows the audience to make that same connection. So there you go. Anyway,
wow, you brought knowledge, Rick. I'm impressed.
I've been away for 2.5 months. Worked. And that's what's happened. So we fell out about Star Wars and Star Trek, but...
When you were over in Bethlehem, was it pretty cool?
It was good. It was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, every 2,000 years, it's worth going.
Yeah, give or take.
Things I was doing... So I obviously couldn't stay away from the watch world, so... I kind of shocked my services around.
I like how you didn't manage to give us the brief 59 minutes required for our second birthday episode, or the brief 59 minutes required for our we've launched our first ever watch. But carry on, Rick.
No. So I worked briefly as the gender media consultant for Teddy Baldassare, but it didn't go well, so I had to quit that and come back. So, yeah. Anyway, let's talk some watches.
Do we have to?
I suppose we do.
Well, I've got things to update you on.
Okay, go on then.
I've got a new mobile phone.
Oh.
I have got new AirPod Pros. I've got a new 4K webcam. I've got a new lighting setup. I've got a new Rode lav mic. Oh, it's all been going on. I'm looking for some watches. I was almost buying a car last night at 4 a.m.
Right. Is this because you're of newfound wealth? Is it you that's got the password for this hard drive that the guy's putting a tip somewhere?
Oh, the guy that's got 313 million worth of Bitcoin locked in a secure enclave. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's other guy who's got two.
Left.
Well, no, there's two of them. There's the guy whose hard drive is in some rubbish tip. I think it's in Wales somewhere.
Oh, that's an old story. That's a story from 3 years ago when he went looking for it back then.
He's back in the news just because Bitcoin's so valuable. And then there's the other guy who's got two password guesses left.
Yeah.
Who I saw being interviewed saying he'd had loads of suggestions from people, including folk who had said, are you sure your password's not password?
No, it's monkey1234.
All right, okay. I mean, unless he sets passwords the way you set passwords, which I never quite frankly understand.
That's how they're designed, Rick.
Imagine that you have that amount of wealth and it's going to self-destruct if you get it wrong two more times. The question is, when did he decide, like, presumably there was like 10 opportunities he had. So when did he decide to stop at 2?
After he did the first 8.
Aye, but you know, would you not at 5 go, I really need to get some help here, as opposed to, okay, I'll try again. Maybe if I didn't press down caps lock or shift quite hard enough, or I forgot, or I typed in, or my finger slipped between the R and the E. You know, it just seems that leaving it till you've only got two guesses left is quite late in the game to be getting into this and to be saying, please, sir, can somebody help me?
But
presumably there's no way around it.
Well, we're not going to get too into the weeds here, but a lot of things have been mentioned on a couple of groups that I am in of ways this could be done, such as acid etching off the top of the silicon and using an electron microscope to read the data from the chips.
All right, really?
Things like that.
So,
and for £313 million, I mean, that's worthwhile doing.
So it's not just going to work if you photocopy the hard drive and then scan it as a PDF and fax it to yourself?
No.
All right, okay.
Now, what you should do is you need to hold it up against a bright light and then look through it with a magnifying glass.
Okay.
That's how you get the answers. Anyway,
right.
I am looking for...
Yes.
A Zenith Swiss Beats Defy Skeleton. That is the ceramic black watch with the orange strap and the nice innards. One of 50. I am looking for one of these. I cannot find one of these. They were out in 2018, limited to 50 pieces, $7,000 there or thereabouts. And I have been all over Chrono 24, eBay, and all the usual haunts. So if any listener or any listener has seen anyone that has got one of these for sale somewhere, give us a shout, drop us an email at info@scottishwatches.co.uk, because this is what came up on the first edition of Scottish Watches Live of the New Year, where Arthur was sort of manning the controls. They were all coming up with ideas of watches that I should buy, and I listed off some of the crazy things that I was looking at, from Patek gondolas from 1990 all the way through to Hublots, all the way through to crazy, crazy stuff. And this is one I've kind of settled on if I can find it. So if anyone knows about this type of watch, I'll put a picture on our Instagram as well so you know what it looks like. Give me a shout. Props to you.
But remember, much like a really rich football club when it goes shopping for a football player in the lower leagues, and those little teams put the prices up, you know, Ricky's all loaded right now, so he'll give you a good
price. Not if I buy that car.
Alright, okay.
And that was the call I made before I called you.
Alright, okay, to see if it was going to happen. I knew you liked this watch. Black, I remember orange and white. I don't remember it being black. Was there an orange and black one as well, was there?
Did you not watch SWL? Was that another thing you've ignored?
No, I've not done anything.
Apart from have notifications come through from your Outlook.
Thanks to all of those that have filled in the gaps, especially the likes of Gigi and Arthur and all the rest of it. So it's been good. It's been good seeing the rest of the team all doing the thing. The time of the week stuff's going well. Arthur, call the AD, is going really well. So
Dan's pissed off?
No, leave Dan alone.
He's away in a merry jaunt. He's off on an adventure.
Me and Dan have just been working on recording our own thing, and we're just going to hit the internet with 20 episodes of the Rick and Dan show. It's like Rick and Morty, but that's a thing. So me and Dan, we're just going to talk Breitling and Panerais. Well. So there we have it.
It's been good not having you here, because
editing has been easier, has it?
Yeah. Holy shit. It was actually an absolute clusterfuck editing the Stratton episode.
Right.
Because after having cleansed my soul of not having to deal with you for 2 and a bit months,
right,
I then tried to edit the Stratton. Have you heard the Stratton episode?
I have not, no.
Good. Don't listen to it because there's inserts.
All right, okay. Am I getting abused?
You get horribly abused. Every time about to abuse the guest and cut them off, I put in a little sort of warning. Guest about to be interrupted, and then you interrupt them just so the listeners are prepared, because the listeners have been in a sort of kumbaya territory as well. They've not had to deal with your shit.
Listen, and then suddenly, boom, man up the lot of them.
15 minutes in, what are you running on the wrist, Rick?
Nothing. Absolutely zippo zero. I am doing the new Scottish Watches watch fast, not TMing two broke watches. I'm doing a proper watch fast. I'm not going to wear a watch for a year.
Did you notice they took their foot off the gas once they hit episode 200, because we got there first?
I didn't really notice that.
I did.
Other than, you know, actually noticing it. But
I was like consistently one a week, and then we kind of pipped them at the post, and then it was like once every so often when they could be bothered.
Right.
And we're up at episode 223 and they're at 205.
But to be fair, I got to 200 episodes and thought, I can't be bothered either. So, you know, I kind of understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, this is true.
So, no, I'm going to go a year without wearing a watch. That's what I've decided. Because, you know, I have got an Apple Watch on, but that doesn't count because that's purely designed to keep me alive rather than actually to tell the time. So I don't include that. But
right, so we need to aim an EMP pulse at that shortly.
Yes, so if you want to target that, I'll share my location with everybody and you can all come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. That's but good. There has been lots of watch news, which I'm mostly caught up with in the last 5 minutes.
Well, before we do that, let's do some proper watch stuff.
Oh, what are you wearing? I should actually ask.
I'll be honest, nothing either.
Oh, excellent.
So, watch podcast is going well.
Hey, cool. Well, starts mean to continue.
But we have something to give away.
Do we?
We were speaking to George Bamford just before our second birthday, and we didn't get a chance on the show's roundabout then because there was so much stuff going on. But we have got a Bamford watch to give away. And it's one of his lesser priced models. So it's not a blacked out Daytona, unfortunately, or a Zenith or a Black Badger, but it is going to be one of his current range. I think it's the Mayfair range. Me and Dave are having a look through all the ones that he's got for sale, and some of the colourways are actually really nice.
Please don't, so long as you are not the two people that get to choose which colourway we're giving away. Let George choose which one he's giving us. Don't put you two in charge. We'll end up with something that looks like a training shoe, full of loom. So can we at least rely on George to choose one for us and not let you two have a go?
Okay. No,
is it too late?
Okay. We'll let George pick. We'll see what he's got. So if you want to be in with a chance of winning one of these watches, and I'll give you the actual name of it.
Oh no, we're letting you set the rules of the competition as well. I'm getting flashbacks. As long as Amir's not involved.
So it's going to be one of the Bamford Mayfair or Mayfair Date watches, and there is a ton to choose from. Mm-hmm. They don't look like any of them are currently sold out, so maybe the person that wins can choose. I don't know. Who cares? But if you want to be in with a chance of winning, by the time this episode goes out, me and Rick will have figured out the competition details, and you'll find it on our Instagram page.
So okay.
Go to our Instagram page, and it is at Scottish Watches. Follow, look for something vaguely Bamford-esque with competition written on it and read the caption, and that will give you all the details that you need to know. Competition will be open for 1 week-ish, maybe 10 days until we remember to do something about it, and you could win yourself a watch.
So what we're basically saying is we're going to keep the competition rules as loose as possible so that it all goes pear-shaped. It's not our fault.
Yep. And Omer, if you're listening, just keep away from this one, please.
Yeah, we've banned you from the site. It's fine.
Yeah. Whatever. Why are your emails keep coming in?
Well, that's a very good question now that you ask it, because I'm listening to you through my headphones, so I don't really understand why it's coming through my speakers. But I've closed down my email app, so you shall hear no more.
That's good. We should move on to some watch releases, and me and Dave didn't get a chance to talk about this one, but we should have, because it's one of our favourite brands. It is G-Shock.
G-Shock, right, okay.
Do you know anything about this? Am I going to just go with it?
Is this this red one?
Yeah, that looks pink in photos.
It does look quite pink. Do we know if the photos are more realistic? Has Dave already got one of these? Dave's already got one of these, hasn't he?
He has not told me.
Has he not? I'm curious as to whether they do look redder in real life or whether the photograph that makes it look pink is actually more realistic. It does look quite cool. This is basically just a metal G-Shock. I think I also saw one that... Did I see one of these that had a strap rather than a bracelet? Or am I making that
probably
up?
Probably.
I think somebody else had done...
You do, because remember they brought out the different colours, like the blue one that has got the strap on it and stuff like that?
I think I saw this, but it's very cool. Is it just a normal square G-Shock?
It's the same one that brought us together, Rick, but just in a different colourway.
Yeah, good.
And it's online available from the 20th of January, so you should be able to go find it by the time you hear this.
Cool. Do you like G-Shocks? Do we like G-Shocks in the way that we like Swatch watches?
Shortly.
I see that G-Shock... Actually, more in big news is that G-Shock are now using the term Casio.
Yeah, that's, allegedly. That's true. That's true.
So actually, they
And they can't spell things either.
They have clearly... Oh, they're spelling it wrong. I've not seen it written down.
No. They spelled octagon incorrectly.
Or
shout out to Phil for spotting that one.
That was the other thing I did. I thought, like, during my hiatus, I would try my hand at watch designing. I designed this really great octagon-looking thing, but it's not gone down well. So I gave that up as well. Came back to podcasting.
Good. So there you go. There's a nice little G-Shock you can get your hands on. Looking at the official G-Shock website, they've got that one showing, estimated to ship 20th of January. Then two along, they have got the G3PO watch that I've got.
Oh, right, okay.
But it's got a red strap and a red face, and it actually looks really nice.
Oh, that's the one I saw. Yes, that's what I think.
Now, that looks red, and if you look across, it doesn't even look pink anymore. Side by side, it looks purple.
Hold on, how did you get from it doesn't look red, it looks pink, to now it looks purple? I don't understand.
Because when it's sitting beside something that's actually red, the difference is even more striking. So if you go to gshock.com, Rick.
Okay, hold on, that involves me typing. gshock.com. I can understand, site can't, hold on, I've misspelt it. Which is
welcome back, Rick. You have been missed so much.
I can understand how the guy with his passwords attempts is feeling. Gshock.com.
Scroll down ever so slightly. Look at new watches in the front page.
Hold on, I'm getting there. Oh no, it's actually at the top. All right, got it. Oh yeah, those online exclusive. Yeah, you're not going to want to see one of them live in a shop, are you? They look
Wonder
really
Woman colours.
Yes, that's exactly. Have you seen that?
That is a horrible film.
It's supposed to be rubbish.
It is balls.
Is it really poor?
It's super shite. They only got, I talked about this in a previous podcast that you weren't involved in, which was really good and well received by listeners. It's a really shit film. It's got some great actors in it. The design and the graphics are all right, but the best thing I liked about it was they have watch captured content. The essence of, well, the watch content was good because it was sponsored by Casio. They were all kicking about with real shit Casio's on, but it was the 1980s mall setups that looked great with the very vibrant colours and all that kind of jazz. But no, it was absolutely shocking. Couldn't understand what the hell was going on, and I actually watched it. It wasn't like I was away doing other stuff. If anyone can explain to me how the main dude in it, who actually plays the Mandalorian, the main dude in it, Pascal or Pedro Pascal, whatever his name is.
Was it the same guy? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Right, how did he know that the little crystal phallus looking object was the wish giver? How did he know that? I couldn't figure that part out.
Right, okay.
But I just kind of went with it all the way through. And then it got a little bit daft and I just zoned out.
And are you looking forward to the Snyder Cut? Or do you not care?
What's that?
So this is the original director of the... Now, what did they call the one that had all of them in it? The Flash and Wonder Woman and Aquaman.
Justice League.
So the Justice League film has been re-edited by the original director. And it's going to be released in four parts, so it's about 3 hours worth. And it supposedly changes the story entirely and uses very little of the original footage, from what I understand. So it's like its own entire film. Because he had to come off of the original filming of the Justice League because of a family tragedy. And it was replaced.
Is that like you leaving the podcast for a couple of months and swans in and you're like, what the f*** is going on here?
Yeah, and so I'm back to say, let's get this under control. There needs to be much more much more wandering around, much more nonsense, and much less talking about watches. We can't. This can't go on. This watch content cannot continue, must not continue.
Well, right. I'm now eyeing up these ugly-looking Wonder Woman watches.
You think that's...
To go with the ugly ones I got last year.
I think that would... Well, if the car you were telling me about is what you get, I think one of them would just go with it. I think that's a thing to treat yourself to. I think that's a decent shout, actually. I think a nice red watch to go with your red car.
Potentially. I'm trying to think of other stuff to talk about. Obviously, you missed all the SWAT shenanigans. You were there in the background, kind of occasionally piping into group chats going,
not really.
So that was fine. It was mainly me and Diana and Dave kind of chatting about stuff.
Yes.
And they were there kind of floating.
No. Well done. You took that from conception to reality, and I had very little to do with it, and I'm happy to take all the credit. So that's fine.
As usual.
No problem.
As you normally do. No problem. Which is fine. So that's fine. Did you hear the funny story, though?
Which one?
Oh, well, here's one. I don't know if I've said it in the podcast, mate. I said it on the live.
Right.
So, in our Swatch episode, I was asking Diana different questions. We're talking about different things. We're talking about design of the graphics that went into the watch. And there's a part of it, as everyone probably already knows, the Duke of Wellington statue in Glasgow. It's a black statue, and all the time there is always a cone on the head. It is just the way of things. Every time the council removed it, somebody would climb up and put it there. So they decided after decades that they're just going to leave it because it's causing people more chance of injury, replacing the cone up there than taking it off. So I was speaking to Diana back when we were coming up with all the ideas, and it was, let's use a haggis, let's use Loch Ness Monster, Edinburgh Castle, and let's use a statue because it is a big focal point and humorous part of Glaswegian culture. So she went on the internet, pulled down some images of it, because obviously she's in Canada, she doesn't have much information on it, she's never seen it, and she went ahead and designed the stuff. And it was only later on that I had spotted there was a little change on the cone on the head. And I messaged her about it in the group chat, and I said, what's the story with the head on the traffic cone? And I don't think she replied, I think she just carried on with it. So anyway, brought it up again when we were on the podcast chatting about the watch. And she said, oh, you know, that's an extra little head that's on the traffic cone itself. And she said it with such vigour that I believed her, let her carry on with it. And it was only a week or two later when one of my normal pals who's not into watches was talking about things, saying what's been happening. I said, released their first ever limited edition watch. And this is how you do it. You can design it, move it around, yada yada. If you want to hear the full sort of genesis story of it, go and listen to this podcast. I know you're not into watches, but you may learn a thing or two. So about half an hour later or whatever, I get a message and it says, Ricky, I have a question. So I phoned him up and I said, what's your question? He said, what's this extra head on the statue that you're talking about? I don't know what you're talking about there. And I said, on the cone, there was this little extra head, you know, Diana saw it there and she designed it. And he went, there isn't. I said, no, there is. I asked her. No, there isn't, Ricky. go and have a look. So I went on Google Images, went to try and find this little extra head. Doesn't exist. There is one picture of the statue with a cone on its head, and you can see what, if you scrunch your eyes up, looks like a little extra head.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you zoom in, it's a bit of rubbish that had been stuck to the traffic cone.
Are you sure it's not like a pigeon sitting on the traffic cone?
It's a bit of like duct tape that has stuck to the traffic cone that Diana has looked at and went, that's a head. So there we go. That is just a total Scottish watches up.
And that's how how art works. That's how evolution works.
It's interpretation.
Random mutation. Suddenly the Duke of Wellington's horse now has two heads on it. So there you go.
Well, it's almost like he's got a guinea pig on his traffic cone.
All right, okay.
If you zoom in and have a look.
I'm actually looking at the photograph I think you're referring to now, which is one of the first photographs you get if you just Google it, because it was used by the Times. Yes. And yeah, I can see there is what looks like the decapitated head of a smaller statue sitting on the side of the traffic cone. So yeah, that is very odd, but there you go.
It doesn't exist in any other photos, and obviously since it's on top of the cone, it can't be part of the statue itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you buy a Scottish Watches watch, you will have a unique perspective of the statue in Glasgow of the Duke of Wellington.
Very good.
A total SW type of mess up.
Well,
just what more needs to be said?
I'm glad they continued in my absence.
Oh yes, we did. We continued to falter. Oh, I've got some watch news as well.
All right, go on then.
I was speaking to Simon Porter at James Porter & Son. Obviously, they are closed because of continual lockdown here in the UK and in Scotland, but they have got a January sale. And it's a little bit under the radar from what I can tell, because they've not really talked about it anywhere, but I got this information out of him when I was talking about the videos that we've just uploaded. So if you go to his website or you go to his Instagram, James Porter & Son, have a look on there. If there's anything you like the looks of, drop them a message and tell them that we sent you and ask if there's a discount to be had. And potentially there might be. It's not on absolutely everything, because it depends obviously what they've got in stock and what's available for clearance. But if you mention us, you might get a little bonus discount. So try that out. Have a look on their website, have a look on their Instagram page, and if there's something you like the looks of, drop them a DM and see what you can do.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because I saw some posts, I think, from them talking about their sale. And the one thing that struck me was it was a proper sale. Like, as in,
up there to 40% off.
There was, and it wasn't just up to 40% off, and the only thing you can find that's got 40% off is something you wouldn't want to buy. It was proper money off of proper stuff. Unlike their next door neighbour in the Argyle Arcade, allegedly is allegedly good enough.
It seems to work for Have I Got News For You.
Okay, that's fine. Then allegedly it is. Certainly there's
cases
where that's happened.
We're cross between Top Gear, as in old Top Gear, and Have I Got News For You. Because when I was talking to Floatlight, he was saying, oh, it's 30 years since that show came out. They've got a special on iPlayer. Went and watched it and I thought, yeah, that is exactly what we do.
Yeah. I actually have to say though, I think we should be saying we're now like New Top Gear. Because I quite enjoyed New Top Gear. I think they're actually not too bad. The Freddie Flintoff and Chris, the wee guy, and the
have
other
they
other
been
bloke
chased
with a
out of
accent.
Any Southern American areas?
You mean Southern United States areas, as opposed to no, actually they were chased out of Argentina as well, weren't they?
And Brazil,
as the Bible Belt.
The
I was thinking you're meaning the Bible Belt when they put the stuff on the side of the cars, but they were also
the Fort Hillary stuff.
Yeah, they were also chased out of Argentina because. Did they not put something on their registration about Falkland Islands?
FKL 1982 or something
like that
on
it? It was something like that. No, I don't believe that they have been chased out of countries.
So they aren't like old Top Gear?
No, but I have to say I enjoyed the new series of Top Gear far more than I used to enjoy the old series of old Top Gear.
Heresy. Heresy.
Burn him, he's a witch. And
what a philistine you are.
And I don't think that the Amazon one's very good.
I never really got off its starting blocks did it?
I don't think it's very good. No, and they're all doing their own things now. So James May's now got a chefing show and Richard Hammond's like being abandoned on a desert island somewhere. And Jeremy Clarkson's decided that Brexit really was a terrible idea. Oh, it's just shocking. Any of you that voted for Brexit, please stop listening to this show immediately.
Did he
welcome.
Vote for Brexit? And now he's like, oops.
I actually don't know, but he strikes me as the kind of person that would do with these kind of, you know, all Europeans are smelly type thing. I mean, they obviously, a number of them are, but there's plenty of Scottish people that are smelly as well.
Right, you watch news, our friends at Moser have got an axe inside a watch?
No, what it is it is an ant. It's the ant watch. So somebody pointed out that the wee jaws of the chime, because he is a minute repeater, look like the wee, not antennae, what's the wee mandibles of an ant. It still does not make this watch look any less cool. It is a cool watch by a cool company, but doesn't tell you how much it is because it's clearly a fortune.
These look like little versions of the big swinging blade in an Edgar Allan Poe movie.
Or is it not like Indiana Jones?
Was it in that?
Oh, was there not axes swinging in one of the escape scenes? I think there probably was. There's bound to have been somewhere. It's a trope, really, isn't it? It does look...
Is it not the pendulum?
What do you mean, in Edgar Allan Poe?
Yeah, the swinging scythe blade thing.
Yeah, but Edgar Allan Poe, did he not write books? He didn't make films.
They made it into a film?
Yeah, so Edgar Allan Poe wrote the book, but he didn't make the film. Aye. Yeah, I don't know who made it.
What's this got to do with Indiana Jones?
Because he's got axes swinging in some of his escapes. That's a film as well. and I've seen that one. Anyway, this is very cool. The clever thing about this watch is it brings all of the stuff to the front. It is a tourbillon that I think Ryan might approve of, even though he's not a big fan of tourbillons being displayed on the front.
No, that was Dave.
Is that Dave? I think it's Ryan as
You're
well.
You're getting your replacements mixed up.
I think both of them are pretty unkeen on that, but I think this looks cool.
I like the gong arrangement where it looks like an old TV antenna.
Do you think you can pop the crystal out of it and just kind of adjust the antenna up, down and sideways a bit to get a better
signal?
Well,
if you want to get annoyed, you can look at the way what would you call that? The tubular bells of it on, I don't know what one you're looking at, but the photo I'm looking at, the one at the 6 o'clock position where they're close together are a lot closer together than they are at the 12 o'clock position.
All right, okay.
Just to annoy everybody.
Needs better. The thing is, obviously, when it gongs, I wonder whether you can actually... perceive, what do you call them?
The reverberation.
Whether you can see it shudder or whether it's so minuscule and so fast in terms of the frequency that you can't actually see the watch.
You possibly will see it because you can see a tuning fork when it gets donged.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just wonder whether the reflection of the crystal, you see it. You know, the only way to find out is for Ed to send us one. Send it across. No, we'll share. Don't mind sharing. I mean, they're expensive, so we'll not put them out too much.
Much is this, anyway?
It doesn't tell you. It's that expensive, it doesn't tell you. And for Moser, that's quite something for even Moser not to tell you, because Moser tell you most things.
Well, it can't be that expensive, because they've not even put their name on the dial. They can't be that proud of it.
And it might not be theirs. It could just be Chinese. Or, no, I mean, to
be
fair...
could be MBNF. Did you listen to our MBNF episode?
I heard a little bit of it. The start of it, as opposed to like hearing a little bit by kind of randomly selecting a time code in the middle of it. I still get confused by N, I can't say it. And I think everybody else, even Mac, says NB and F as if it's an N, as in MBNF, as opposed to NB and F. People say MB and F. And so I think it should actually be MBNF.
There we go. Go and register that as a watch company name.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Sorted.
So you never heard the story about people accidentally buying a Moser?
No. Oh, right. Because they've got the crossover watch between the two companies.
Yeah. So right, all the fans of Max Busser and MB and F saw there was a new release with that name on it and went and bought it, and then it got delivered and they went, this is a Moser.
There's Moser on it.
It's like, I accidentally bought a Moser.
I mean, what kind of lifestyle are you leading?
First world problems.
Yeah, well, first world problems, like 0.1% are problems. Forget about the first world. Me and you are in the first world. That's not a first world problem. It does, yeah. I mean, what kind of lifestyle are you leading where you see a new release from MBNF and you think, I'll just buy one. And then you pay that little attention in the checkout that you don't see that it says Moser on the dial from the link from Hodinkee.
I suppose it's a bit like if you're on eBay and you're looking for a PlayStation 5 and you buy a photograph of a PlayStation 5 for £700. Maybe like that.
That is actually the other thing I tried. I tried to do a Ben Clymer and just become executive chairman of Scottish Watches, but that didn't work either. So I had to go back to the day job.
We didn't get any funding from John Mayer. We got funding from the guys from Deacon Blue.
Believe it or not, I was listening to Deacon Blue last night, like bizarrely. Have you ever gone on one of those Apple music things? So we played a song that was just an earworm for something. What was it? It was some really random song. And then you scroll down to the bottom. Sorry?
Who's we?
The folk in my house, my wife.
Right, okay, not me then. Right, okay.
No, not you. So we played this music. I mean, to be honest, it was actually mainly me. Everybody else was ignoring me because I was just in my own wee world. But so I played the song and then you scroll down to see if you like this, you also like this. And then you scrolled along and that led me to play something else and then led me to something. And eventually ended up at Deacon Blues. It was like seven moves. What's that? Six degrees of separation
of Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. It was like that only for music. It was how many moves from... there's a game to play.
Do you want me to connect some dots? Rick. I'll connect some dots. One of the other films I forgot to mention that I watched at the weekend was Hollow Man.
Right. Is that a Stephen King thing?
No, it's basically Invisible Man, but it's got Kevin Bacon in it.
Oh, right, okay.
And to link that to Deacon Blue were playing on the New Year's Eve Hogmanay show on the BBC because it was that shit this year.
Although I see they got rid of, what's her face, the ginger
Jackie Bird.
Jackie Bird was no more. They replaced her with Susan
Cameron.
That's
racist. You can't say ginger woman.
Ginger
woman. That's racism.
Okay, sorry. It's okay because I am ginger. Actually, I'm not. If
Scottish,
you are,
it's the same thing.
If you're Scottish, you're allowed to say bad things about Scottish people. Is that not the rules?
True, I think so.
Can I have my second anywho? I didn't even watch any New Year TV. Didn't watch Jonathan Watson, didn't watch any of that.
Everybody was stuck in their own house, as we know. But in Scotland, we didn't have any festivities at George Square or Edinburgh Castle or anywhere else. So what they did was they went to Stirling Castle and filmed some fireworks. And the girlfriend was with me at my bit in Glasgow, and that's where she stayed. And she was watching all these crazy fireworks on her telly going,
I could see that from the back of my house.
We could have seen that from my house.
Did you buy the girlfriend anything to get her into watches for Christmas?
Well, there is a story.
Oh, right, okay.
And no matter which way I spin the story, I'm going to sound like a cheap bastard.
My favourite kind of story where you come off first.
So, for a giggle, after I watched Jodie at Just One More Watches, AliExpress 1111, so I was talking about, oh, look at this, look at that, Pagani, I've got this thing that looks like a Daytona, Oyster Flex and Rose Gold.
This is going to get worse for you, you know.
I know. And I saw that and I thought, £43 delivered, that's worth a punt. So I took a punt and it got delivered and it was actually fairly decent. I put a photo of it on our Instagram and when people got past the shock horror of a Pagani, they looked at it and thought, huh, £43, that's not bad. So I showed said girlfriend watch and little hands started eagerly going towards said watch. And I thought, okay, I kind of bought this kind of quite a nice beater, but I do have 40 other shitters. So she ended up with a Pagani watch that was mine anyway. So a second-hand Pagani watch.
Seriously? You gave her so I thought you were just going to say that you like bought her own one, but that's made even worse by the fact that, and I don't know if you, have you publicly announced that you've also invested in or got your name on a waiting list?
For what?
For the real version of the Pagani version. Are we talking about this?
I'm on the waiting list for 4 watches right now.
Oh, is that right? Okay, so you had this episode with Arthur where they all tried to persuade you to spend your vast voluminous Bitcoin wealth on it and the Zenith. So what else has taken your fancy that you're on the waiting list for?
Ooh, what am I on a waiting list for?
Hold on a second. If you're on the waiting list for it, it must be Rolex, presumably, or AP, because there aren't any. You're not buying a Patek, presumably. So what else is there a waiting list for?
Certain watches are on waiting lists. Different retailers.
Right, we'll assume that, we'll not name them, but we'll assume you must be on the waiting list for a Rolex or some description.
Yeah.
And if you're on 4 waiting lists, are you on just 4 different waiting lists for the same Rolex?
No.
Or is it different watches but all Rolex?
Wait there, I need to do some calculations and counting to 4 is tricky.
Dear. Yeah. Cool. So,
talking about watches, I am looking at, if you didn't catch SWL, which is moving to a better time slot and is going to be more about quality rather than quantity. So instead of popping out every single week, we're going to tie things up a little bit nicer and work on a good scheduling plan to bring it out monthly, but to make it real good. So keep your eye on that.
The girls have got their show on a Wednesday and Team Arthur have got their show on a Sunday. So we're just leaving
it. Did you see the one they did about the Formula One?
I have not.
It was damn good.
But that was a thingy from Watchinista.
Watchinista,
so
yep.
I will be looking at that, and that will be available as audio as well. So if you don't watch the video, you can listen to the audio.
We'll talk about that later.
Well, it's already out, so...
channels might be disappearing. That is a really good episode to go check out. All the Call of AD stuff is good, but this is the first one that I thought I could actually send to the girlfriend, because she is crazy for Formula One. Not just watching it on TV. Back when travel was a thing, she used to go to Monaco and Dubai and all over the world following F1.
Cool.
That is hardcore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to actually send her a copy of that or a link and say, go check this out.
Certainly sounded like it would be a good show, because they all know their stuff, the four of them. They're all car geeks and all. And I don't know whether the Wachnisa guys are actually engineers by background, but certainly Arthur and Stephanie are both engineers by background, so have a particularly cool interest in cars.
Well, you were asking which watches I was keeping an eye on. So, shall I go through my shortlist?
Yeah, go on then. Go on then.
Righty-o. So, here is my shortlist, long list, in no particular order.
Okay.
And we have got...
Paul Thorpe, if you're listening.
Oh, I was on his show. Did you know that?
I did know that. I haven't seen it. Or, I mean, I've seen it pop up, but I've not watched it. So, give us your list.
Martin at Martins of Glasgow was trying to offload his 1970s vintage Breitling, but I spoke about that before.
Yeah.
I'd love it, but I'd be scared to wear it because it is so perfect. It would just, it would hang in a museum. So, anyway, 1980s, 1990s root beer, two-tone, right, GMT Master.
I used to really like them when I first got into watches, and have gone off them slightly, and I think, actually, I would prefer the new ones. To the vintage ones. Right, go on.
No, the new ones sound crap. They've got a really dodgy movement in them. Anyway, next up we have got the three-timer in blue from Linda Werdelin.
Good
available
choice.
Just now from the limited edition. It is 4,600. Next to that, you've got the Linda Werdelin Hard Black 3 Big Date, which is incredibly cheap at 3,540 plus VAT.
Yeah, that's really got a big date on it. Similar, I think, to the Orage Big Date. It works the same sort of way. But it's at 430, isn't it?
I like it better on this because it blends. Yep. Blends so well.
Cool.
Next up, again, from Limited Edition. This is a problem with Pietro sending me watches to look at.
It's a long con by
it
Pietro.
It is a long... Yes, it is. We've got the Louis Monet Metropolis Magic Blue, which is a watch that I reviewed with him. Well, I didn't review nothing. He reviewed it. I filmed it. And this has got the best blue dial I have ever seen. It's
Louis Ballard would give it a run for its money that he also sells.
No. This is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And this one's about 10 grand, so it's a very expensive piece. Now, I was looking at these last night again. Ulysse Nardin Freak X, rose gold.
Ooh.
And this is about 15 grand. I have no idea why these things, unworn, are so cheap, but they're all over Chrono 24. If you want the normal one on steel, it's about 10 or 11 grand.
That's a good shout, by the way, as a something
that's
special.
A good shout.
Yeah.
Along from that, I was looking at but would never buy the Vacheron Constantine overseas in rose gold. Again, I've got a thing for rose gold just now. Blue dial, non-complicated, just the three-hander with date on the rubber. That's quite nice, but it's expensive.
If you're buying an overseas, then you can't look past the AMPM day-night one, the GMT on steel Gen 2 one.
Too much shit on the dial.
Okay.
Next up, and dropping in price, we have got the Rolex Oyster Quartz Datejust, 36mm steel and gold, 1987 for around about the 6K mark. And this is, I don't know why these haven't caught fire yet, but they haven't. And are about the only Rolex that haven't moved up in pricing yet. So that is a good contender. And again, speaking with people in the industry that know what they're talking about, like Martin and others, this is a great watch. It's really underrated, fantastic movement, very accurate, even compared to today's standards. So there we go, there's one there. Then we've got stupidity. We have got the pumpkin watch from Hublot Spirit of Big Bang.
All right, okay.
In black with pumpkin orange.
Not sure the waiting list will be quite as long for that one, but okay.
Probably not. And then it was a real way out left field thing. Now, if you go into Chrono 24, you go into eBay and you look at watches, generally it's up to you. You have to go and find whatever it is you want. If it's Omega Speedmaster, if it's Nautilus Patek, if it's whatever. But if you go to Watchbox, which is thewatchbox.com, click New Arrivals, and then it just lists them in the order that they've got them. So it's a complete jumble sale, bric-a-brac. Yep. And there is
I'm not sure they'd appreciate their list as being described as bric-a-brac, but I understand what you mean.
Yeah, they don't listen, it's fine. So, has Caroline ever replied to your emails from 2 months ago?
Except all of them listen, but yes. I haven't heard from her. I think she's back from furlough.
I haven't heard from Josh Thanos, who I phoned the other day asking him for some advice, and he said he'd phone when we parked his car. So, he's still driving, apparently. So, anyway, I went on there, and something that just popped out, you would never go looking for this, but something that popped out was a Patek Philippe pre-owned gondola.
Yeah.
$9,500 plus VAT, 1990, solid rose gold, manual wind, looks like a Reverso without the Reverso bits in it, for $10,000. And I thought,
you're never going to buy that.
Wow. Well, you know, along from that, you've got, again, these are all Watchbox ones because I just kept scrolling, screen capturing and scrolling again. We've got the H. Moser Pioneer, which is the blue with gold. I don't know if it's rose gold. Looks like rose gold.
Right, okay.
That's in at 12.5. We've also got the Cartier Santos in black.
You see, I would have thought that you would quite fancy Cartier Santos. I think it's called the Nocambule, which is the Nocambule, that's not how you pronounce it, but Nocambule skeleton. Google that.
Nah, I've seen that. You can see through it, your wrist hair on that one, I think.
But the loom on it is just unbelievable. Okay.
No, because I tried on one of these Cartiers at Watch This, but no, it wasn't. It was Mapping and Web in Glasgow a few months back, and I was like, oofed, this is quite nice. Then we've got the Bulgari Octo Finissimo range, all of them. You've got stainless steel, you've got sandblasted, you've got titanium, you've got the ceramic. They're all round about, 10K.
The Octo Finissimo is a cool idea, but I think Dave has experienced this. Speaking about
getting midget wrists.
But I don't have midget wrists. I tried one on in the States and it was like, looks great. And you put it on, it's like, it's just not quite, just not quite there.
A problem with them, said it on the show, I tried one. It wasn't a Finissimo, it was just an Octo. Tried one 3-4 years ago when I was over in Paris. And I didn't like the way when you looked through the dial, if the dial colour's different from the case material, it looks odd because it's got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The Octo, funnily enough, 8.
Boom.
It's got the 8 inner aperture markings that you would see if you look through a lens of a camera and you alter the aperture settings. That's what I didn't like. So anyway, that's sitting around about $7,000. Mm-hmm. Oh, we've got one at $10,000, which is the sandblasted ceramic. Now that works because the dial's the same material and colour scheme as the rest of it, but it's $10,000.
So no Grand Seiko or AP?
I'm getting to it.
I'm thinking, where's Simon's cut?
There was a Breitling Exospace, again, from the Watchbox. It's about 3.5. I don't know what it's like when you import this kind of stuff, so I reckon it's going to be dodgy unless they send it from America to Switzerland, and then I figure out if we can escape on a plane to Switzerland.
What they need to do is need to... Well, they can do that. What they need to do is need to sell it to Catlin. They need to send it to a US address, and then the next time you know someone that's across in the States, they need to bring it home, allegedly.
Right. Allegedly. Cool. Next up, not from the Watchbox, was a Tudor Heritage Black Bay Bucherer Blue.
Yeah, they're nice. These. Are they the 41?
Sitting around about the 3.5.
Yeah, they're 41 mil ones. It's a proper Black Bay. It's not none of this namby-pamby 58 nonsense.
No, it's really nice. I've always liked the look of these. And again, there's a load of, I wouldn't say bargains, but there's a load of availability for different things. So I quite like the look of that. A bit of a weird one or a way out there. Roger Dubuis. It's in Japanese, I don't know the name of it. But it's $8,000 and it's whatever their classic thing. It's not the Excalibur, is it? Maybe the Excalibur, I don't know. It's the one that's got the crazy numerals on it that just look like slash marks.
Right.
Small seconds, date. Okay. There were some recommendations in some of our groups.
Right.
Zach mentioned a Credor that was really nice. It was a limited edition piece with a really insane looking kaleidoscope blue enamel dial.
Okay.
But it's just a little bit weird looking. Again, there's only one available on Chrono 24. And then there was the guy that I forgot about. Can you tell what it is yet?
The guy you forgot about? Like as a note, meaning a watch you forgot about?
A watch.
I would have said the Grand Seiko Red.
I liked that last year, but it wasn't Spring Drive.
Okay.
In Scottish Watches Live, one of the guys, can't remember if it was Gigi, suggested a Grand Seiko that was like my Batman, but it had gold. That was nice. No, the one that I forgot, and again, it was delayed because of problems over in Switzerland,
Zenith
is the Orage.
Oh, right, of course, the Tourbillon.
The Orage Tourbillon.
Ah,
so
yes.
That is back in contention.
Yeah, of course. I've forgotten about that.
Now, since I was looking at that, that was a year ago that they came over and we got to play with all those.
Yeah.
And that was when they were using the movement that was Le Jeu Perret had helped build.
Yep.
And now they've got everything in-house, so better. Mm-hmm. It's even better colour because they've played around with the scheme and whatnot. But that one is in contention because, again, that's less than 10 grand when you spec it up with all the right bits. And you can upgrade the case to rose gold. You can play around with the colour of the movement and the hands and whatnot. So you can really customise and go to town. So there's lots of ideas. It's narrowing them down. But definitely, as I said at the start of the show, if anyone knows of one of those Swiss beats, Zenith Defies, I would be well in there. There were $7,000 USD when they first came out, so I would expect to pay around about that probably because they're still fairly rare. And the box that comes in is an actual record player. Don't know if you knew that.
All right, no, I did not. I recall seeing one, but I don't recall seeing the box. And have you just not just emailed Zenith to ask them?
Well, I do have a current email chain going with Zenith, but it's about something else. So I might I may actually do that. Yeah. Or I might speak to Sophie because she knows people.
Yes, yeah, she does.
Yes. And, is that a show?
It does feel like it might be.
Feels like a show. They actually like squeezed some new releases. We talked about watches. We talked about films. We talked about your absence. Now, to let listeners know, the episode that went out with Stratton was recorded a couple, maybe like 3 months ago.
Yeah,
so that was Rick 1.0. Now we've got Rick 2.0.
2.0, or what, it might turn out to only be Rick 1.1. We haven't decided yet.
Well, I think it's 2.0 beta.
All right, it's the pro version's due for release sometime in March.
Yeah, but it'll need some firmware updates and whatnot, because it'll just be a little bit sketchy.
It's a slightly, unlike normal things, though, it'll be in a slightly smaller case rather than a slightly bigger case, but it will be more than 50 metres water resistant. A show is not a show unless I get to talk about why Omega with their new watch gave the gold version 100 meter water resistance, but not the standard version.
That happened. So that almost is a show. We have put some new watch news in. We've got all the stuff that you really wanted. You're going to be back, a couple of times this month as things get easier?
I will be back for certainly the plan is one more this month, maybe a couple next month, and then we shall take it from there.
Back to normal.
Okay. As work starts to, as we start to learn how to import and export stuff from the United Kingdom again, or until we just decide to do the sensible thing and rejoin the European Union, because actually it turns out that made life easier.
Just Scotland, though, not those English guys.
Oh, don't start with Scottish independence. Don't get me going. I'm torn now.
So that's good. That has been a show. I'd like to say we've missed you. But yeah. I don't like lying to my friends.
Yeah.
But you're not my friend, so we missed you. It's good to have you back, Rick.
Well, let's all just all together now as you're listening. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.